Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
The Addicts took an early lead, but for the 16th time this season, we conceded twice, and to make it worse, it was the BFG who scored the winner. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live here from the Valley on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendez, joining me in the studio to look back at a desperately disappointing trip up to Preston North End yesterday. On my right hand side in his immaculate yellow hoodie, Mr. Tom Walling. Tom, good of you to turn up on time to something.
Yeah, it makes a change, doesn't
it? Yeah, what time did you get to the game yesterday?
Shortly after we'd gone 1-0 up.
Oh, so you missed a good bit.
Yep.
And then
terrible day.
Yeah.
Terrible day.
Well, there you go.
If you got luckily, home, I get to talk about it again now.
Yeah. Well, someone who shared that magical journey with you. Yeah. Opposite me, Lewis Cat. How you doing, Luke?
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how would you sum your day up out of 10?
It was pretty poor, really, yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah. What number's that? Sorry.
Oh, at least one.
Yeah.
Solid one.
Yeah.
Poor out of 10.
It's pretty poor out of 10. Yeah.
Although, I spent a lot of time with Tom. We had a lovely day yesterday.
So, even worse, then, if anything.
Seeing the sights of crew.
Yep. Yeah, well, excellent. And on my left hand side, who's enjoyed the entire weekend with me, Friday night, all day Saturday, and the women's game today, Sunday. It's Benji Clank. How you doing, Ben?
Good, thank you.
At least you got to see the goal yesterday.
Yeah, we get more out of 10, don't we?
Yeah, we were poor, but not quite as bad out of 10.
Yeah, we enjoyed a goal, so.
Yeah, there you go. Nice so, start. Yeah, absolute lucky charm. So on tonight's show, we're going to look back at that defeat up at Preston. We're going to hear the highlights of the game. Of course, we're going to hear Lee Bowyer's post-match interview. The full 10 minutes of it is quite interesting because obviously it's not only the game that we'll talk about. We'll talk about signings as well, which is a big part, I think, is going to be of tonight's show, is going to be about that. We're going to hear from Patrick Bauer as well, briefly. I spoke to the BFG, our Wembley hero, turned villain a little bit after scoring yesterday. He didn't celebrate. He chose not to celebrate against his former team. I thought I'd have a quick chat with him after the game. We'll hear a clip of that tonight. Full quotes coming up in the paper on Tuesday as well. Also, we are going to hear from Charlie Escort, women's team player, scored in today's 2-1 home defeat against Blackburn. Difficult result for the ladies as well. So we'll hear from her and look ahead to the game of Chelsea that they've got next week. And before we finish the show, we should, as a group, look ahead to Wednesday's game with Fulham. Another big one, another tough one. They're a bit resurgent, haven't they? Won 4 out of the last 6 for them, so it doesn't get any easier from here on in for the Addicts. Still 5 points above the drop zone, Tom. Are you clinging to that a little bit, because we still won, 1 in 16? And having taken the lead yesterday, I think after that, I thought we were defending okay until we conceded the corner. And then I think the most disappointing thing about yesterday is we didn't really look like we were going to get back into it.
Yeah, that's the concerning thing at the moment in terms of how worried I am. Still not. I'm still quite calm about it. Me and Lewis differ on that, and we had a long chat about it on the way home. I still think we'll be fine. I still think we've got enough to stay up. But you're right. What disappointed me most, obviously, it's not seeing the goal. But then that performance was just a bit flat, and there were two poor goals to give away. The first one, obviously, a moment of magic from their side, but we could have closed him down better. Second goal, obviously, it's just mad. Of all the players in that side, we know what he can do. To just leave him unmarked like that was ridiculous. And then, as you say, even when we were 1-1 before we were 2-1 down, I just don't think we really created anything. What did we have? 2 shots on target, I think, and one of them was the goal. It's just not good enough. And you look at the forwards that we had in the game yesterday, enough, it was weird to bring Andre Green off, but those younger players, you don't want to blame them. And Boya says the same thing, doesn't he, after games, and it's hard because they're doing everything they can. We just, like Nave said, Thursday, just need the rub of the green, really, something to happen for us or Lady Luck to turn up, and it's just not happening at the moment, unfortunately, and that's why we're where we are. But in terms of generally rest of the season, I do still think we'll be fine. But yeah, it was just a very flat performance yesterday. Mm.
Right, well, we're going to have a listen to the highlights in a few seconds' time. Don't forget, you can have your say on this evening's show. Plenty of correspondence has already come in that we'll come to later on in the show. But you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say on this evening's show. We want to know what you made of yesterday's game. Are you still confident that we'll stay up? We've still got that 5-point gap above the drop zone. I also want to know, going into the transfer window, and I did ask Bo about is there any potential for incomings, or will he be able to get players in before Wednesday, and he does stress the importance of that. I want to know if you guys are still confident that we're going to get the bodies in that we need. Obviously Steve Gallen's going to be working very hard behind the scenes, so are you confident that Steve will be able to pull off another few miracles like he has done over the course of the last few seasons? Right, let's have a listen to the highlights then on Valley Pass. Your commentators were Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Releases Naby Sarr across to the left of centre. That's a lovely ball out to Doherty on the left side. He's got space to run into. Taking on Fisher now. Corner of the penalty area. Goes inside the penalty area. He's got space for the cross. And yes! It's Green, who touches it in for the Charlton opener. What a superb move from Charlton. Lovely football from right to left. And Charlton opening the scoring in the first 5 minutes.
Well, it just had to be Andre Green, didn't it? I mean, in fairness, he had the simple job because the football was outstanding from Charlton from start to finish at the back. Brilliant play. Lockyer to Oshalaja, across to Sarr, across to Doughty, into Williams. Williams driving the ball forward, back out to Doughty, who could just take on Fisher. A brilliant assist from the young man, ball across goal, and Green just had to convert. And the former Preston loanee from this season gets his first Charlton goal at deep
now. Into the edge of the box, and Davison, he goes back to Dempsey, looks for a crossing opportunity, trying to pick out Doherty.
Lovely
on the far
ball.
Side. Oh, it does, Sonis, just hit Fisher on the attempted ball, but Doherty will pick it up again, takes the shot. Oh, and it's come off somebody's backside, and in quite, I think it was Harrop, looped up in the air, and Declan must get the ball in the box. Oshalaja with a header away, but it's dropped to Johnson on the corner of the penalty area, takes his shot over
too
the
much
bar.
Space. Too much space. As soon as Johnson picks that up, needs someone closing him down. John defended inside the box well, but as soon as Johnson picked it up there, they were very slow to react, and Johnny Jackson just barking instructions at his down the line, finds Harrop. Harrop has Fisher on the overlap, who he uses. Fisher crossing an opportunity, reverse ball, finds Harrop again, edge of the penalty area, goes for goal. Oh, what a strike that is. And Preston have the equaliser. Can't say it's too deserved, but that is a strike of the highest quality from Josh Harrop.
Well, we had a warning a little while ago when you give him that much space, and we gave him that much space a little bit. Prattley sold himself trying to cover the ball out and left Harrop on his own, He drifted inside and just picked his spot.
To Davis on a run. Reverse ball finds Sinclair. Sinclair taking on Lockyer past him. Sinclair on the edge of the penalty area. Shoots straight at Phillips. And Phillips gets to the second
recovery,
ball. There's an offside
recovery.
Flag anyway, so it wouldn't have counted had Harrop got on the end. And there is the half-time whistle. Preston send bodies forward. Charlton with everyone inside their box except Williams. Harrop chips it into the penalty area. It's a free header. It's a goal. And it just had to be, didn't it? It's Patrick Bauer. He doesn't celebrate, but a free header, a chip ball into the penalty area. And Charlton will have to come from behind at Deepdale if they're going to get something out of this game. It just had to be the Wembley hero, Patrick Bauer.
Well, I want to call him something else now other than a beauty, obviously. But free header, I mean, he just launched himself at a ball. Nobody in his way, nobody jumped with him. Probably the simplest goal he's ever likely to score, actually. To Morgan, gets it back, Alfie Doughty, on this left-hand side, on by the touchline. Into Morgan again, Morgan into the box. It's Dempsey there, it runs to Davison. Oh, he can't connect with this swinging foot, but he's still on it, Davison. Tees up Doughty, sends it low and into the box, cleared away by Bauer for a Charlton. Is that a throw or a corner?
It's a throw, it's a chance.
See the angle.
It's a throw, a referee signal for, but that's a chance.
It just wouldn't sit for Dempsey.
Yeah, it wouldn't sit for Dempsey, but it did for Davison, but it was on his weaker left foot. And he just swung a leg at it. Probably need a little bit more composure.
That'll be Morgan. Swings it in. Far side. Prattley's there. Gets a head. Oh, two.
Chance.
Too high difficult. Up in the air. It was a little difficult. There was a man in front of him.
Yeah.
Putting him off. And he couldn't get enough purchase on the header to keep it under. Allowing Preston to take their time. Now he blows the whistle. And it's all over here at Deepdale.
So there we go. Another defeat. Unfortunately, another goal from a corner or a set piece corner in this case for Patrick Bauer, Lewis. Where, I mean, you're looking at that defending. I thought first half we were sort of leaving them, you know, restricting them to long shots, which is where their first goal came from. But you're thinking, okay, we've actually defended quite well in that first half. They haven't had too many clear cut opportunities, and
yeah.
then you give away a set piece and they score from it at the start of the second half. And again, you got it all to do after that.
Yeah, it was incredibly disappointing because, you know, we've already seen a bit of a, you know, bit of slack defending for that opening goal, albeit fantastic finish, but the defending was off. And then again, you have it with somebody that we all know so well, you know, Patrick Bauer. We're well aware of what he's capable of in a box, his physical presence, and to leave him with that much space, it was just sort of the script written, wasn't it? You can't give somebody that's got that much of an aerial threat that much space. And then after that, I think we just looked a little bit depleted and deflated, and we just are really struggling to get back into games at the moment. We seem to have a really good spell in like the last 10 minutes or so, and you think that something's possible, but you just haven't quite got that quality in the final third at the moment to go and nick a goal. You know, it's been said so many times, we're conceding sort of two goals at a time, it seems, in every game at the moment, and that's given us a real uphill struggle. If we're going to get any wins, we got to score more than that, you know, and we haven't quite got that quality to do that at the moment. So
yeah.
I'm quite concerned. You know, Tom mentioned earlier about the sort of the staying up and that. I do think we've got the quality to stay up. I'm just a little bit concerned that we've got so many players out and we're relying so heavily on these players coming back, but it's going to take a while for them to get up to speed. And I think we're running out of time to get them up to speed now.
Yeah, Ben, 16 games then this season that we've conceded twice in. I mean, that shows, you know, I've said we haven't got the worst defence in the Championship by any stretch, because there are 8 or 9 teams that conceded more goals than us when I checked the other day. But, I mean, it is happening too often. And when you are trying to dig in and stay in a game like we were at Preston yesterday, to concede from a set piece where, I mean, looking back at it, I mean, the corner has gone just over the head of Prattley. Oshalar just sort of trying to challenge with Bauer, who's gone on to score. But for me, I think the runner, who hasn't been able to track him properly, appears to be Naby Sarr on the far side. He's sort of got stuck the wrong side almost of a ruck of players. And then Bauer's able to go into that middle of the 6-yard box almost and head it in. And Sarr finds himself stuck 2 or 3 people away from him because he's ended up on the wrong side. And it's just simple... things like that, when we're not tracking runners, we're not winning headers in the penalty area, that's costing Bo. And you're hearing his interview, he must be so frustrated with that, because like I say, with our depleted squad, they've done their best to go toe to toe and stick in a game for that long, and then they've just thrown it away at the start of the second half.
Yeah, we were talking about it after that. We come away from the game and Preston, to be fair to them, weren't really that good. And yeah, Bayern must be fuming. Two simple goals we've given away. All right, yeah, the first one was a screamer, but no one closed him down. Second one, Bauer, he's barely jumped. And we kind of all leant back. And it was a free header. Didn't even head it into the corner of the goal. He's headed it straight down the middle. So yeah, two frustrating goals that we've given away. I know they had the better chances as well. But yeah, it's that period as well. After the second half now, we keep conceding in that period. Where if you keep it tight for a little while, bring on fresh legs of Otsuma like we did, then we might be the ones going for the goal. But again, we concede, heads down, and we're relying on bringing these players on to change the game when we're already got a defeat. So.
Yeah, it is a weird stat, isn't it, the amount of goals that we're conceding in that period just after half time at the moment. Sometimes you could probably read too much into the stats, but it is something you try and work out why it seems to be repeated. I mean, Bayou is asked the question in the press conference, but it's hugely frustrating. I don't know if it's a lack of concentration, but why is it specifically at that time? Are they taking a while to get their heads back into the game? It doesn't really make any sense, does it?
It's very strange. I remember us mentioning it maybe as early as November, October, maybe late October this season. So it's been happening since then and consistently. I can't think of many games off the top of my head recently where we haven't conceded in that sort of first 5 or 10 minutes of the second half. And I don't know whether it's a concentration thing or whether it's a physical thing, whether they're just not up to speed. But it's very strange because for Boya, obviously he was here last season and Jacko was here last season. So I don't think it's a managerial thing because the way that they handle them at half time and their team talk and all of that, you'd imagine, isn't hugely dissimilar. A lot of the players are the same as well. So it's very weird. I don't know. Maybe it's more the fact that the additional quality of the opposition and the fact that they just start a little bit quicker. But it's something that you would think after it happens 3 or 4 times even, you'd try something new to try and sort that out. And obviously, I don't know off the top of my head exactly how many times it has happened now, but I suspect it's a lot more than that. And yet it still seems to happen. And then maybe it starts to become a thing. So even then, if you do try something else, you come out. And as soon as that whistle goes, the opposition know we're susceptible for those first 5 minutes. We know that they're going to come at us. And it sort of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you're just kind of almost waiting for it to happen because that's how it seems at the moment. But as one of the guys said then, it's just such a cheap way to throw away even being 1-1 at the time, to just throw it away and fall behind, because with the strikers we've got at the moment, it's very difficult for us to get back in games. And when you're 1-0 up in a game, you want to go on and try and get that second. And as Boya said himself, if you're going to concede 2 goals every game, you're going to have to score 3 to win a game. And we, at the moment, just haven't got the strike power to do that.
And it had to be Pat, didn't it, Lewis? And we were all sort of laughing about it beforehand. When Andre Green scored, everyone said, oh, I bet it's going to be Pat now to get one back, and it is him. You know, after sharing that most magical moment with him just a few months ago, it seems. And then, I mean, it's nice of him not to celebrate, of course. And we're, like I say, we'll hear from him later on in the show. He speaks very fondly of the club still, but it is just one of those bizarre things that seems to happen a lot in football.
Yeah, it was. It like you say, it was sort of written in the stars, wasn't it? But it was nice from Pat to not have that sort of celebration in the face, wasn't it? He took it with quite a bit of class. And
if he really loved us, he would have headed it over.
But, or done it at the other end.
Yeah,
past his own keeper.
He did
ask
nicely during the press day. But,
yeah. But yeah. We're victim of our own downfall because, as I say, we know what he's capable of and we left him with all that space. Mm. He's headed it straight down the throat, Dylan Phillips, and it's ended up in the goal. But Dylan hasn't really got the time to react. If you're expecting your defenders to defend that situation, and we just didn't yesterday.
Yeah, I can't really ask you two about our goal that we did score because there was something positive because you didn't see it because you stuck with the train delays. But Ben, you were there. Probably our one real moment of quality, unfortunately, during the game. Alfie Doughty again involved, as we've seen so much recently, down the left hand side. Brilliant assist, reels it in, and then Andre Green really has the easiest of tasks just to tap it in at that near post. But it was nice for him to score against a team where he had very, very few options on loan at the start of the season.
Yeah, I guess it's the same as Bauer scoring against us. I know, obviously, Bauer had a lot more games for us, but Green struggled to get in the Preston team and then scores for us. So, again, that's how football, what happens in football. But, yeah, what a run from Alfie Doughty. He's become such a revelation for us in this injury crisis. So if there's some positives we can take out of that, it's him. I think he might have got caught out a bit at the back yesterday, but going forward, brilliant. Second half, he was our main player again, I think. Got the beating of his man every time, but every time we just tried to cut that ball back, it just wasn't someone there, or we played it a bit poor. But yeah, what a player he's turning into be for us. And I'd just like to see him in a more advanced role, really, because he's very similar to, I'd say, Leko, but seems to have a bit more final finish to his balls. And great goal.
It's interesting probably that he's arguably the only youngster who's playing at the moment is actually keeping out a more senior player in Ben Purrington, you know, in terms of a fully fit player, at least. You know, they'll be striking, like, you know, Davison keeping out Hemmard at the moment, whilst Hemmard's still coming back to full fitness. But it's interesting that Alfie is probably the only one who's, I reckon, even after the injury crisis dies down, has probably bought himself a place in and around the first team, certainly. Now, I mean, we had, like we said at the top of the show, one of the main disappointments yesterday, apart from the sloppy goals conceded, is that we didn't look like getting back into it, really. I mean, forced a few corners. There were some positive aspects to our play in that second half. But in terms of clear-cut chances, I can only think, really, of the one that fell to Josh Davison, and he sort of had an air shot on it. There was a little move that ended up with a corner. I think it was a short corner being played back to Green on the edge of the box that was charged down as well. But, you know, missing key players in that area still. And for all the joy of having the likes of Ozzy and Williams back and Hemed coming back and feeling like at least we're making some progress and getting towards where we need to be, I mean, as Bowyer rightly points out in his interview, we still end the match with the likes of Morgan, Doughty, Dempsey, Davison on a pitch. I mean, our hands are still tied. A great tweet that's come in actually from Albert Rossi saying it's hard to stay positive, but we do need some players in because the other teams don't care how many injuries we have. I mean, the Championship is brutal and no one's going to lay off us because we've got a few kids playing, unfortunately. And we saw that yesterday again.
Yeah, we're getting to that stage of the season now where majority of clubs have got something to play for, particularly with the Championship. You know, and usually anyone from about 12 upwards can make the playoffs for the next 5 or so weeks, so everyone from that way up is looking to try and make that push forwards, and everyone from what about 15th, 16th down is still looking a little bit over their shoulders. So there's very few teams that you would say are going out with nothing to play for. So he's right, everyone's going to come, and everyone, you know, it's an easy team talk for the manager to put that team sheet up and say, look, how many of these players do you know? Well, none of them. And how old are they? Well, they're all about 12. It's going to immediately put us on the back foot because other teams with experienced players are just going to go and go, thanks very much, I'm going to, you know, make your life hell for the next hour and a half. And it's credit to those players that, you know, I don't think any of them have crumbled at all. You mentioned Alfie Doughty there in particular, but even those others that have had to come in, Dempsey's and Davison and players like that, you know, I think they've all shown something and they've all been a credit to themselves. But we're in danger once again of running these players into the ground. And you're right, I thought Ozzy looked good yesterday when he came on. But Williams, we were just saying before we came on air, Williams looked knackered after about 40 minutes. Hemed hasn't really had enough chance to get back up to speed yet, although I would argue in the last couple of games he's shown a little bit more than he had done previously prior to his injury. But it's not enough. You know, we need Cullen back. We need Williams back fully fit. We need Lyle and or Macaulay Bon up front. We need Green one side, we need Doughty the other. We need all of these players at one time. We can't just be rotating in one or two first team players and still having to play all these kids, because they're going to break down ultimately at some point. It's going to happen, and they probably haven't got the quality to keep us in this division, which is no discredit to them at all, because they shouldn't have that responsibility on their shoulders. So that would be the only thing that I still remain concerned about. I guess my positivity is that I'm convinced we are going to get bodies through the line. I know we've only got about 10 days left of this window now, but bodies have got to come in this week. I'd be surprised if we get someone in ready to start ahead of Fulham, but certainly after that we've got 9 days off. It's all about getting behind the scenes, Bowyer, Gallen, just 24 hours a day on that phone and getting some bodies in as quickly as possible.
Well, I know you said that Steve Gallen was on your train home yesterday and his phone seems to be glued to his ears. Yeah. Hopefully wheeling and dealing out there, getting some bodies in. And we'll discuss that a bit more after we've heard from Lee Bowyer, because he does talk about the need for signings, and in fact he wants them in before for them. You know, I asked him yesterday, he said we need them. I mean, if you're looking at who's running the line yesterday, obviously Josh Davison played so well over the last few weeks, but I don't know, sort of fluffed a bit of a chance there, and you just wonder if it's, you know, this is what happens when you have a young player who has to play every week. He's not going to have a great game every week, and all of a sudden is how it's going to affect his confidence and all, you know, his fitness, how tired he's going to be after, you know, really intense spell of Championship football.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's done no discredit to himself over the last few games. As Tom said there, I've been really impressed with him. I was really impressed with him at when we played West Brom at home last weekend. I thought he played really well. Hold-up play is good. It's as you say, it's that experience and big moments in games. He did have a chance yesterday to probably get us back into it, and the pressure's on him. And he is only young. We've got to remember he was playing his trade at the Enfield Town at the start of this season, but that just shows the position that we're in. We're relying on these players to keep us in the second tier of English football, and it's not going to be enough. And we've obviously got bodies coming back and an opportunity to bring people in, but I just feel like the business has got to get done as soon as possible, because we've got to get them gelling and everything before February, because February is a huge month for us in terms of fixtures. Some of the games that we've got in February are absolutely massive and will probably determine whether we are going to get out of this relegation fight or we're going to be scrapping all the way to the end.
Mm, yeah. Hemed was one of the players who came off the bench yesterday. He hasn't had really a run of games at all yet. I thought he looked quite sharp when he came on against West Brom last week. What did you make of Hemed yesterday? Was in a lovely little flick, wasn't he, to set up Davison at one point?
Yeah, I agree with Lewis. I think, or Tom, who said it. But yeah, he looked a lot better than what we've seen of him at the start of the season. Hopefully we've kind of gave him a few more weeks to get properly fit this time rather than before. I think maybe rushed him back. But yeah, he's got to now step up and prove his worth. I think I'd give Davison a rest on Wednesday and start up front with Hemed, because I think, as you said earlier, the boy's come from Enfield Town, and then he's starting three games on the trot for us and getting battered by these defenders. And he has given a good account of himself so far. But yeah, I'd like to see Hemed given a go from the off on Wednesday and see what he can do.
Yeah, quick turnaround for Wednesday. Of course, Jake Forster-Caskey and Josh Cullen were supposed to be involved yesterday, and both of them suffered minor setbacks, which we're about to hear from Lee Bay. Right, we're going to hear from the Addicts boss now. Don't forget, you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say on this evening's show. Let us know what you made of yesterday's performance, what your hopes and dreams are for the rest of the January transfer window, all that sort of stuff. Make sure you get involved with the show. Let's have a listen to what Lee Bayer said after yesterday's game then. I caught up with the Addicts boss and asked him to sum up the afternoon that his side had.
Pros and cons. I thought we started the game really well. Everything was working that we'd worked on in the week. They had more possession than us, but let's not forget that they're a very good side, so we respected them. But at the same time, when we won the ball back, then we just needed to take care of the ball. First two or three passes, first half we didn't really do that. Scored a good goal, thought it was excellent, again something that we'd worked on during the week, so they scored a good goal. You can't, I said to the players there, there's some things, and I've said to them in the past, if someone gets the ball 25 yards out and puts it in the top corner, sometimes you just have to hold your hands up and say great goal, because that's what happens in football. So the first one, they get that great finish. But then to lose the game on a set piece hurts. That hurts me, because that comes down to someone not doing their job properly. Just mark your man. And that's happened too many times to us this season. Again, we can see two goals. Right, the first one is a great strike, but the second one, to come here and fight and give everything like we did, can't fault their effort and their commitment again. But that quality in the final third lacked today. I think that was noticeable. We got into so many good areas, especially when we changed formation second half. We got the ball into so many good areas out wide, and then kicking the ball behind the goal, and like, well, it's not good enough, you know. If you want to compete in this division, you have to bring more quality in the final third.
It's another goal by a single defeat as well. I think all bar two of your defeats this season have just been by that single one. So it must be the frustration that you just can't seem to cut out those moments where perhaps a defender falls asleep or something like that.
Yeah, but that's how many times has it happened? How many times have we conceded two goals this season? How many? I couldn't. More than we haven't. I can tell you that. And I ain't even thought about it. That's just off the top of my head. And if you keep conceding two goals, you ain't going to win games. It's as simple as that. And no matter, we score near enough every game, but you keep conceding two, you're going to lose more games than you'll win. And this, that's what winds me up and drives me mad, because we probably deserve something from this game. But we end up coming away with nothing because someone falls asleep and we get hurt.
You certainly had some spells in the second half where you're forcing corners and that, but like, so just the quality in the final third, you're starting to see some of the lights of Johnny Williams coming back now, and Tomo was able to come on and get a run out. You feel like you're getting closer to having those that senior squad back that perhaps you need.
Yeah, you say we're getting closer, but we still finished the game with Alfie Dufferty, Albie Morgan, Dempsey and Josh up top. It's four kids still finishing the game like that, so not really. I don't feel like, okay, we bit stronger, but no, we need help. Like, we need help. We've got too many kids out there. Sorry, but it's no disrespect to them. They're trying their hardest, but they're not ready for this. And when I keep saying it, and it's like no one believes me, you're just witnessing it every week. So they're not ready to be playing this in this division. That's the reality and that's the fact. So I'm not just saying just them, but the senior lads, they're all trying, but I don't think it's fair on the kids to be playing, but we have no other choice.
It's one of those horrible ironies in football, isn't it, that the reason we're in the Championship now is Patrick Barron. He's the man who goes on to score today.
Yeah, we know that's his strength. He's done it for us how many times? Has he ever free header from 6-7 yards out? That should never ever happen, whether it's Patrick Barron or anyone. Very rarely does it happen to us, does it? So, but Patrick, to be fair to him, he lost whoever was marking him and scored the goal.
You mentioned, obviously, you need help. Obviously, Matt was here today, the chairman. You'd be working hard with him, I guess, over the next few days to try and get bodies in. Do you think, I mean, it's probably quite hard to put a time limit on it, but do you think you might be able to get someone in before Fulham, for example, to bolster the squad before then?
We need to. We need to bring bodies in. That's obvious. I know it, Steve Gallen knows it, and the chairman knows it. Like, but the sooner the better for me. The sooner we start bringing bodies in, the better, because we need help, not just myself, the players. They need help, and they know it, you know. So everyone can see what's happening. A bit of help and a few more players coming back, then we give ourselves a better chance.
Also, it was reported by the chairman of a different club that you had a bid accepted for Madison, but I mean, does that show that at least you've got money out there to go and build on this squad?
I can't talk about a different team's player. That's just disrespectful. I'm not going to do that. So like I said, we've given targets that the players that we want to bring in, and the sooner we start bringing players in, the better, you know. I'm not going to talk about Madison because it's wrong.
Just one more from me. There's a couple of players missing today who have featured recently, like Jake Forsikaski and obviously Cullen sort of on the way back. Can we just ask what's going on with Jake?
Yeah, you won't believe our luck at the moment. So Jake was meant to start today, but on Thursday he just jarred his knee, done something with his knee, so it was really stiff yesterday, so he can't take the risk. He's been out for so long with his knee, so so we couldn't take the risk. He had to stay behind, and Josh Cullen was meant to be on the bench. And on Thursday again, I think he went to block a shot, and it just caught him on his toe and just opened up his ankle a little bit. You know, like, just things that, instead today you could have been starting with Jake, and it could have been Josh coming on like replacement for him. But things just ain't going our way at the minute. But that's part of football. We have to get on with it.
I mean, is this like a bad setback for Josh, or is it likely a few days extra? Or,
well, no, again, I'm hoping that he will be in and around it for Fulham. That's We didn't want to try and risk him now because he has come back a week early. So we didn't want to try and risk him now for this game and maybe have a big setback for another 3-4 weeks. So, yeah, most important thing is that his ankle just settles down. There's nothing wrong. It just needs to settle down.
Do we know how long Jacob might be out for?
I don't know. No.
just going back to the players and the injuries that you've had, it's not just about getting the players back, but also getting back to fitness, being able to be match fit, to even play is another one entirely. Are there still players that, you know, like Williams and Green, who need to get back up to speed first?
Yeah. Do I want to be taking off Johnny Williams and Green after 60, 70 minutes? Of course I don't. But if I don't, then Johnny Williams will get injured. And Andre Green, if I want him to play on Wednesday, I have to take him off today because there's a chance that he will get injured. So, again, this is something that we have to juggle at the moment. And, yeah, it's great that players are coming back, but it takes time to build them up minutes-wise as well. So.
And going back to the goal that Bauer scored, it's another one early after the second half, and it's becoming a bit of a recurring theme. What do you put that down to?
Sloppiness. Take charge of what you're doing out there. Like I said, we set them out and they all know their jobs, but we can't literally walk onto the pitch and move them into an area and say, make sure. We can't do that. They're grown men and they have to take responsibility, and to lose on a set piece, that hurts a lot because we work hard on that. You know, we score goals from set pieces, from working hard. Practically had a chance at the end there, you know, like, but that's why it hurts equally when we concede from it, because we do work so hard on these set pieces.
I know you said before that this team wasn't really in danger of going down, but at some point, you know, the teams below you are going to start catching up, and the games that you do lose by one or two goals will start to hurt. Has that mentality changed a little bit, or are you still insisting that you're fine?
No, I'm a realist. If you keep conceding two goals, you're going to not win many games. And if you don't win many games, that means you lose. If you lose all the time, you get relegated. I know what's happening. But we have to just keep working hard. That's all we can do. With the players that we have at the moment, and then once players start coming back, then things might change a little. But no one's given any right to win any football match. You have to earn it and do the right things in both boxes. And the sooner we do that, the better.
Last question, if that's all right, guys.
Yeah.
Is there a danger that Lyle Taylor will be sold to raise money for players coming in?
I hope not.
No.
I hope not.
Are you fending off offers at the moment?
Someone come in with a silly offer Friday, but that was like player for player. There was no money involved. It was a ridiculous offer. Again, this is something that's out of my hands. I'm not the money person. I'm not controlling that side of things. All I can control is that we keep working hard and try and win games.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers header. And it's Charlie. Yes! Oh, it's in! Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlie has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero! Here at Wembley! Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton live. I might have to stop playing that now that he scored against us. I can't believe he did that. Disgraceful. No, he's all right. We'll hear from Patrick actually later on in the show. That was Lee Bowyer talking about yesterday's defeat at Preston and, of course, the transfer window, which we do need to really concentrate on. I mean, I asked Bo if he thought there was a chance that we can get anyone in before Fulham coming up on Wednesday, Tom. And, I mean, he says we need to, and we do. I mean, you can't afford to write off any game in the Championship. And I'm still not entirely sure why we decided to play this game so soon, actually. we could have rearranged that for a different time, I imagine, but the decision was made that we wanted to play it as soon as possible. So ideally, if we can get someone who can come in, whoever it is, just to help the chaps out, even if he goes onto the bench, I mean, the sooner the better.
Yeah, it doesn't sound hugely positive from the way he's talking, but obviously we have got 3 days to do it. And you're right, I think... You look at the game we played against Fulham away from home earlier in the season. Now, I know our side was very different, but we do like a team that comes out and plays against us. I don't think they're going to come here and sit back and park the bus. So, obviously, as you just said, you can't let any game slide. You know, every game counts and every point matters in this division. But I don't think there's anything more to fear from Fulham than there is any of the other sides. I didn't think Preston were all that yesterday and they beat us. So, just because Fulham on paper are a better side doesn't mean they're going to be any different against us. As I say, I think we perform better against that sort of side. So we need bodies in. That's the truth of it. There's not really much rotation we can do ahead of that, and the players are all knackered. So that's the concern. He was down yesterday. We were all just saying, weren't we, off air, just how sorry we feel for him, really, because yet again, his hands are tied. There's nowhere really he can go with it. He can do all the work he wants on the training pitch, but he can't train them that much, really, because he doesn't want them to break down, as they seem to every time they go out there. So he's in a very, very difficult position. Obviously, his contract's up in the air. We haven't got players coming through the door. So a time that really should be such a positive one with his takeover at the moment just seems a bit in limbo, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, it's difficult. It should be such a time of celebration, as I say. And at the moment, we're just concerned because our run at the moment is so poor.
The rest of this month is very big, isn't it, for Matt Southall and for ESI, for the new lot. You certainly see on social media now, you've got fans, you know, wavering, if that's the right word. There's a lot of fans out there saying, come on, let's keep up the positivity. I'm sure that these things can sort themselves out and give ESI time. And sure, I imagine most people will be happy to give the new owners time. But obviously in 3 weeks' time, if they've not sorted this out, then that will become a big problem. But so, I mean, this is going to be big for Matt and for those behind him, because they'll have to go out and prove themselves. No matter how difficult it is in January, you've got to go out and have a very strong rest of this month to make sure that we don't get sucked into something that could be a bit unnecessary if we have a half decent January.
Yes, massive for us. It's absolutely massive, and as you say there, ESI are going to be judged pretty harshly on this month. I think they're going to need to bring players in. It's something that we know we need as a club. It's been We got Andre Green in, obviously, early doors, and since then there's sort of been rumours of people coming in and then nothing's really materialised. There's rumours on social media about the clubs sort of being a little bit silly with their transfer fees because they've heard of our new ownership and they think that they'll get a couple of extra quid out of us or whatever. And it is difficult, and I think supporters are naturally going to feel a little bit concerned because what we've been through over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years with Roland, somebody coming in, the excitement was there straight away. But when you're not seeing immediate results, and I know these things are never going to happen overnight, but when it was as bad as it was under Roland, you kind of expect to see something. And, you know, there are probably things in the background going on now that are positive, and we don't see that on the football pitch. But we're going to be judged massively on what we do now, because we've got to strengthen this squad and they've got to invest early. And it's probably something they don't want to do straight away because people are going to take the mick. And in the summer, it's going to be a huge restructure, I imagine. Like, the job on hand in the summer is massive. But the most important thing now, and I think ESI do realise it, but it's going to be highlighted, is that staying in the division is massively important. We have to stay in the Championship. Otherwise, all the hard work is completely undone. Mm. And we're back to square one again. And we've got such an opportunity, if we stay in this division and can invest properly and build properly next summer, to push this club to the next step, that it's very important now that we make those short-term investments to ensure that we keep our Championship status.
Well, Mark is saying that January transfer window is like booking a holiday for £1,000 only to find out you could have got it for £700 2 days later. My point is, once you're on holiday, you don't care about the money. You're just glad to be on your holiday. Spend that little bit more and make sure that we stay up. I mean, in Boyer's interview there, he said, you know, he knows how important this window is. Steve Gallen knows how important this window is, and he also says that Matt Southall knows how important this window is. He says, Bayer said he's got a list of targets, he's named a list of targets, and we need to go out and start getting them in. So I mean, you can tell Boyer wants this to start moving along quickly. And obviously we've got the similar situation with his contract that has yet to be finalised yet, which again, you know, Boyer was hoping towards last weekend it could be sorted out. These things are taking a little bit longer, but the longer there are delays on this sort of thing, the more questions are going to be asked, and the more impatient fans will find themselves becoming, because at the same time it's being reflected in a difficult period on the pitch as well, and all these things are happening at once.
Yeah, it's hard. It was a rough week, wasn't it? Because losing Connor the week before in a press conference down here, we seemed pretty sure that Connor wasn't leaving.
Mm.
And let's face it, he's probably in the top three loan signings we've ever made. He gave it his all, and he was unlike a loan player for us. He was like our actual player, the passion he showed. But look, he's gone now. And it's going to be a big ask to replace him, because with loans, we had Kyle come down here very late in the summer transfer window. That didn't work out because of his injuries. But then we also have had Lecco, who done really well. We've had Josh Cullen in the past. Josh Cullen now, sorry, who's done really well. But then we've had Hemed, who's had injuries. So it's going to be a massive ask to find a player like Gallagher who can come in and make a difference for us. Yes, it's getting closer to the end of the window now, so we don't want to be too desperate, but we need to replace players like Gallagher. We've also got that other loan place up for grabs. But I can understand when Charlton fans are getting a bit edgy, because we've had some bad years with ownership, and we've had getting towards the transfer window, and we've not got anyone. And yeah, it's been disappointing transfer window, so we need some positivity. And the first positive move that can be made is Boyer signing that contract. We need some stability with that. And as Boyer said before, players want to know he's going to have a secure future here. And we all do too. We need that stability as fans.
I guess, Tom, you can understand why some fans have concerns. Like I say, it's not universal by any stretch of the imagination that everyone's worried. But some fans are a little bit worried about what's going on, because everyone wants everything to happen overnight. But at the same time, words do need to turn into action at some point. And I'm sure fans have enjoyed everything that ESI have said so far. But they need to see some proof in that pudding being eaten.
Yeah, I said when they put out their statement at the takeover, if they run the club half as well as they put out a statement, then we're in for a good time. But it's still very early days, and we don't really know yet what we're dealing with. And I think I said it when the initial offer had been accepted of the new bid. Obviously, we all wanted Roland out, and I'm not for one minute going to suggest that would have been a better situation to be in. But with Roland, we knew what we had. What we had was bad, but we knew. And so there was always a bit of fear of the unknown, because you just don't know what this new lot are going to bring. So we don't fully know how much they're worth. We don't fully know what their strategy is. And their communication has been pretty good, and they're very open and transparent about what they're doing. But they haven't yet signed anyone, apart from the Andre Green signing. And for us as football fans, you know, we're here to see the football team. That's what we want. And it's all well and good saying we've got this five-year plan. That's good to hear. It's good to hear that they've, you know, built a strategy and they've got some long-term thinking, and probably in the long-term future of the club, that is the way that you want your owners to look at it. But they've taken over at a time where we're struggling and we've got a transfer window, and they need to be doing some immediate action to just cover our backs, even if it is just putting a plaster over a massive hole for now. Just do it, get us to the end of the season, because if we're still in the Championship next year, Me and Lewis said it on the train yesterday. Summer is absolutely massive and a much more important transfer window in the longer term. But we need to do some business now, because if we get to the end of January and we haven't signed anyone, it only takes a couple of those injuries to be out for a little bit longer. And as we've all said, February is such a massive month in terms of games. If we don't have even 80-85% fully fit squad going into that month, we're going to really struggle, because I guarantee the likes of Darity and Davison and Dempsey aren't going to be able to play through all of that February month without breaking down. And if that's the case, we're then going to go into the last couple of months of the season probably in a very, very precarious position.
Barry put on the Charlton Live Forum, is there anything positive to report? I'm desperate for any sort of good Charlton news. Someone asked me that in the pub yesterday as well, actually, after the game. I said, oh, sort of racked my brains. I said, well, you know, let's see what happens for the rest of the month, I guess, because at the moment there's nothing really coming in that everyone's going to get really excited about. But then the January transfer window is always a fascinating time, and that could change very quickly. I mean, Don Crenazda says, do you think we'll make any signings this week? And do you think Lee's contract will be resolved before we get to February? I mean, we don't know. I mean, at the start of this time last week, you would have answered yes to both those questions. But then when you've all of a sudden gone a week with nothing happening, now you're starting to think, well, what is happening? Fumbluff's asking us what the largest animal you think you could catch if it was fired at you from a cannon. Fumbluff, I don't think that's really appropriate for this evening's show, unfortunately. Right. What? I mean, we have been canvassing opinions on football, not animals and cannons, but I did ask for your views on yesterday's performance, as well as the transfer situation, Bayer's contract, anything you want to talk about. I mean, Prattley's Pocket says that yesterday's performance was a carbon copy of the Luton away game. I guess you could say it was similar. It started well, went up a goal, and then didn't really look like we're going to get back into it. Sarah says, I've been looking forward to this evening's show. I'm feeling negative at the moment, but I don't blame Lee Bowyer. He's the best and working miracles. Or Steve Gallen, he always comes up with the goods. I don't blame His Excellency or Matt Southall either. I imagine they are working very hard behind the scenes. We just need some luck. 100% Charlton says, the marking for the second Preston goal was shocking. It's not the first time that this has happened. We need to start learning how to defend from corners, because it's becoming a bit of a habit. On to Wednesday, hopefully at least our two players in need to start winning our home games. Groundhopper Aaron says, first 25 minutes we were fairly comfortable. They stepped up after the first goal. Second half performance wasn't great. Didn't think we were going to score a second. We need some players in, but need just to get to the summer time and then rebuild. I mean, that's a good point from Aaron there, Tom. I mean, staying up is the only thing that matters now and the rest of the season. Staying up and getting Bayer on a deal, and then whatever you can almost restart in the summer, because you know we've had a difficult couple of years in terms of getting the personnel in that we wanted. That's the most important thing. We just need to find, by hook or by crook, and that, if that means getting bodies in before January, the end of January, which clearly it does, we just need to make sure we stay up, and then you've got a fresh platform for which to build upon.
100%, yeah. And it's not, I'm not going to say it's not a lot of work, because obviously any transfer is a lot of work, but I'm not expecting miracles from them this January. It's just about getting a few players in. The business that we did last season, obviously, I know Josh Parker at the end of the window wasn't to everyone's taste. I actually thought towards the end of his time with us, he actually played quite well.
Legend in my view.
But
he did do some good stuff.
Yeah, two or three signings between now and the end of the window. Someone else, probably a fullback, someone in midfield and a striker. And then you think that will supplement what we've got pretty well. And I said it on Thursday show, I do think probably with one or two more, we have got enough to get us over the line. And then, as I said to the last question, it's then a massive summer. Summer has to be the key window for ESI to see what they're all about, because we saw at the start of this season, up until October, November, we saw what this side was capable of. I don't know if anyone really thought we were going to stay up there, but we've shown we can mix it with the likes of Leeds and the likes of Fulham and the likes of West Brom, even in recent weeks. We've shown we can compete against those sort of sides. And if we can show that, then there's nothing to say that with a bit more strength in depth, we couldn't go on and do that every week and make a real push next season. But for now, it's just about getting one or two bodies over the line, get us through, as I say, February, which is just such a massive month, stabilise ourselves in the Championship, and then look to kick on next year.
It was interesting. I don't know if you've seen a story that Richard Corley put out today. Tanu Namir had done an interview over, presumably over in the Middle East, where he's from, and talking about trying to send over the best doctors from the UAE. Says, obviously he's seen that we have a lot of injury problems, and he's going to sign a new doctor to try and fix that. I just found that slightly interesting. That obviously, I mean, it's like if your car's broken, I guess you try and get a mechanic in rather than buy a brand new car. But hopefully he does realise that we do need some bodies in as well, and I'm sure he'll put his hand in his pocket, hopefully. Right, Robert Cooper says, it's taken every ounce of strength to stay positive with this run of results, but I'm not going to go into full-blown panic mode just yet. First, let's see who returns and who we bring in before the 31st of January and pray for a minimum of 12 points in February. Then we can reassess in March. And that's the thing. I mean, there's nerves at the moment, Lewis. Of course there is, because a lot is up in the air. And like I say, like Tom said, we don't know this new lot yet. We're very pleased to see them here, and we're hearing some nice stuff coming out in their statements, but we don't know them yet. And what happens between now and January, I think they're going to be judged. I think that's really going to set their stall out for the rest of this month. Now, if they can't get decent signings over the line, then I think they're going to struggle to come back from this, because this is such a crucial month for them. But at the same time, if in 2 weeks' time we've actually got three or four decent bodies in, and we're all going to look back at what were the nerves that some of us have now, and we're going to feel very silly.
Yeah, and as I say, I think they're obviously trying to be a little bit cautious, because they don't want to be sort of taken the mick out of in the market by other clubs. But there are, you know, it is very important that we do get the business done that we need to stay in the division, because ultimately the clubs around us are strengthening, and we're relying very heavily on youth, and our injury list at the moment is bad. And we know we're saying these players are going to come back, but given the amount of times that they've come back and then there's been a setback again, there's no reason to say we're not going to be in this position with injuries all the way through the rest of the season. You know, we've had it with Cullen, Jake Forster-Kaski, Lyle Taylor. They've all come back from an injury and then suffered a setback almost immediately. So there's no means to say that we're going to get these players back as quick as we hope. So we've got to strengthen. And I think, as you say, the ESI are going to be massively judged. If they get it right, it sets the stall out perfectly going forward. If they get it wrong, then I wouldn't be surprised that there would be questions asked by the supporting base, because they know the positions themselves. You know, Matt's come out many a time and said that he knows that we need to strengthen. So it's down to him and Steve and whoever to get these deals over the line to make sure that we stay up.
Yeah, Cabby's asking if there's any update on Sam Field. I don't have one to hand actually right now. Maybe in the next week or so we'll try and find out, because obviously, I mean, every time you go to interview Bowes, you could go, like, the entire interview could just be on which players are due to come back, but he hasn't mentioned him by name. I know he was at the Charlton West Brom game last week, so hopefully he's quite soon to be in and around. He hasn't been recalled or anything, so that does suggest we're expecting still to get some use out of him. Doogie says there's no need to panic. If Roland was still in charge, Bowyer would be gone and Taylor would have gone for a pittance with zero recruitment. ESI are in place and have offered competitive contracts to both, plus made bids on players that have been accepted. So again, competitive. Much better place than we were 6 weeks ago. I witnessed firsthand the issues at Glickstein, Hulia and others inflicted on our club. Not wanting to go there again. Slow and steady, the way to go. Have faith in the process. And that is something that I will point out. You know, a bid has been accepted, for example, for Madison. I know Bayer doesn't want to talk about it, as we heard there during his interview, but that does suggest that at least there's a little bit of money out there. But it's making sure that we can get these deals over the line that's going to be the important thing. London Inlet Geezer says, we were okay in the first 20 minutes yesterday. Very poor second half. The experienced players like Prattley and Lockyer were poor. Only Doughty and Saar shone for me. Inquisitive Ram, confident that he'll do all he can. That's Steve Gallen in terms of getting bodies in. But January is always a difficult window, and so not that confident we'll get significant signings. Maybe a couple more youth loans, and maybe 6 months for an experienced pro, the likes of Nugent. Madison clearly isn't chomping at the bit to come. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Ben, we've stuck in an offer for Madison. It sounds like we haven't been able to agree terms, and Richard Corley reported that it's going to be put on ice for a little while, and there's another club now talking to him, which some have suggested might be Birmingham, but I don't know for certain if that's the case. What have you made of that? I mean, I've seen a few people saying, you know, if he hasn't taken our first offer, so then why should we? He obviously doesn't want to be here. But I mean, he's a footballer and a businessman. He needs to make sure he gets the best deal for him and his family. So if he waits until the end of the month and then decides that Charlton is the best deal, then you still imagine he's going to come here and try and put his all in.
Yeah, I see a few fans saying they're not sure he has a correct attitude to be a Charlton player. I'm sure we all know that Bowyer is a good assessor of these kind of characteristics of a Charlton player. And if he hasn't got the correct attitude, then I'm sure he won't come here. But yeah, I think he's a Northern lad, isn't he? So there was people saying they're not sure if he'd come down south, like this far down south, to play for us. But yeah, look, I'm happy for that deal to be sat on ice at the moment until he works out what he's going to do, and let's go for others. As a few of the emails said there, yeah, we need to replace the loan deals and try and get in someone like a Gallagher in again. But yeah, if he's not ready to make his mind up yet, we need to just go after others.
Yeah, right. Tom said the second half was very poor with zero bite up front yesterday. In my opinion, we need five players before the end of the window to stay up. It's not fair to ask the youngsters to play every week when they're not championship quality yet. Mark says we can't keep using young lads as an excuse when our defending is an absolute shambles. Three goals conceded inside 10 minutes after half time in the last three games. After the first 15-20, we went to pieces. Have to start getting more points and not be a soft touch. Tom also adds, I don't doubt that Gallen will bring players in. My only worry is that with the window closing soon and not signing the likes of Madison and Nangele, we might end up with the dregs that are left, like when we signed Parker last season. I do hope that they prove me wrong, though. Mike's is it praising a piece. There's Benji Nurik has written a piece about the transfer window, which I'll retweet as well, which apparently is worth it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but a lot of people are saying it's a very good read, including Mike. Daniel Smith says he's 100% confident that Gallen will be able to bring in bodies this month. Jimmy Seed on the defensive issues at the moment said it'd be too easy to blame the defence, but it starts higher up the pitch than that. We put in the lowest number of tackles per game, 7.9 according to Jimmy, and in recent weeks we seem to be inviting pressure, largely because we struggle to keep the ball. We miss players like Cullen and Gallagher. Yeah, Cullen sort of cleaning up in front of that defence in particular, Tom. It's been a massive miss, Josh Cullen.
He's been the biggest miss for me. We spoke, I think it was on Thursday's show, if not definitely recently, about the number of goals we've conceded, and obviously Boyer came out after yesterday's game and talked about the fact we're conceding two goals in games too many times. For me, it's down to Cullen in front of that back four, his work screening. I think if you look at that back four as individuals, Matthews, you know, he's nothing flashy, but as a defender, he's pretty solid. I think Lockyer's come in and been a revelation in terms of his performances. Pierce, we were actually talking a little bit off air, slightly been found out at this level, but certainly not a bad player by any means. Naby, obviously got an occasional mistake in him, but again, a very good defender and has made some goal-saving tackles. And then on the left-hand side, I think Purrington, again, you know, we've called him the 7 out of 10 player. Just, you know what you're going to get with him. So I don't think that back four are bad. I think Phillips arguably is one of the players who'll be in the running for player of the season behind them. So if you look at that and the fact we're conceding, you've got to say, well, what are the other problems? Well, the fact is Josh Cullen's been out for a long time and has struggled. And at the start of the season, when he was in the side and we were playing games, we were conceding far less. So yeah, he's a huge miss. Prattley, we've said plenty of times, can't do it on his own. He's a different sort of player, but that screen that Josh Cullen provides is just so crucial. And I said it before, I think that since him and Johnny Williams both dropped out of the side, we haven't looked the same. They're basically the spine of our team. And we've had them missing for too long now. And Johnny's obviously getting back up to speed. But I think until Cullen's in that midfield, we're always going to look a little bit light, because time after time we've come into this studio on a Sunday and said the midfield was overrun, and for me it's down to the personnel that are in there. And again, I don't mean that as any discredit to the likes of Prattley, who's been sensational there. He needs more help.
Right, Lewis Stubbs says he's 100% confident that we'll get the signings that we need. Jonathan says we need a strong number two, an older head like Lenny or Kerbs, as someone who's been there and done it. His suggestion is Neil Warnock. Ev says, why are so many fans panicking with the inactivity of the transfer window? Have we ever been really active in January? The answer to that is no. Stop all this woe and let the people who really know what they're doing get on with the job that they are paid for. Robert says our entire defence as a unit simply isn't good enough, added with the non-existent midfield due to the injuries and fatigue. On top of that, we now have no senior strikers until February at the earliest. Ev again says, I have no doubt that by the end of January, we'll have our players back from injury and loans replaced with quality. We will even have one or two permanent signings. I'm still confident we will not only be safe, but surprise many. Keep getting behind the lads. They're doing wonders. Be proud of them. They're really giving their all. I may have to bring out my Churchillian speech again, and you won't want that. No, I did. I mean, that did reduce me to fits of laughter at one point last season. Sam says, not all the defence. Our horrendous injury list to key midfielders has been a problem at the back, and that has had a lot more to do with it. Look at our defensive record before we lost these players. Yeah, there certainly is an argument that we need a bit more cover from the midfield at the moment. Rob CFC says it's actually 12. What's that? 12 in the last 16 games that we've conceded twos. Yeah, because I guess in the if that's the start, I have to double check that. But playing wing backs, defenders are not strong in that position. Play 4-4-2 more. Obviously, injuries, especially to Field and Cullen, this 16 game run came when Field got injured. The poor ball retention, constant pressure, and individual errors are to blame for the goals we conceded. Millie says, I really believe we will get the right bodies in. This transfer window is all about getting the experienced players and filling the loan slots to ensure safety this season. Then in the summer, we will rebuild safely and secure. I mean, do we need like a bruiser in midfield, or you know, that's the sort of questions that they're going to be asking. Cheers for that, Millie. Graham says he's got every confidence we'll get the bodies in. He's worked miracles with the bodies he's bought in on no budget, so I have full confidence in Steve Gallen that he'll get the right players by the end of January, adding to getting the bodies back from injury. I'm sure we'll be fine. Will says everyone knows that the January window is never easy, as clubs inflate prices and players will also try to inflate wages, as they know we are desperate for bodies, but I believe in Gallen, and we will get the right players in. Right, let's have a listen, shall we, just to give my voice a bit of a rest. It's Patrick Bauer, our hero, isn't he? A hero. I hate him now. I hate him after he did that to us yesterday. And obviously, an absolute legend, Charlton legend, after what he did at Wembley last season. I spoke to him after the game yesterday because he did the nice thing and he didn't celebrate his goal. I caught up with him after to talk about the game.
Yeah, I mean, I spent there 4 very good years at Charlton. Yeah, obviously I scored the winner in Wembley, but yeah, I moved on in the summer. But anyway, still I'm following Charlton games. I still have a lot of friends at Charlton. Yeah, and just like over the 4 years, I have been like really respectful with everyone as well. And yeah, obviously I scored the winner today. But yeah, Charlton will always be like a part of my life. We spend a very good time together. So I'm just like respectful.
Yeah, and it looked like you chose not to celebrate today as well. Is that because of the respect you have for your former teammates and your former supporters?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Charlton also, they haven't won like they just won like one game in don't know how many games. So yeah, Charlton is like in a difficult situation right now. So yeah, I'm just like respectful, and I spend a good time. So I didn't think like I have to celebrate a goal.
Just running through the centre circle. You had Solly on the overlap, but goes great to the far side. Lyle Taylor is on the edge of the area, up against Bath, the captain, right on the corner of the penalty area. Cuts inside onto his right foot and shoots. Oh, goal!
It's it!
What a goal!
Taylor with an unbelievable strike from the edge of the box. It was a great ball from Lecco, who came through the centre circle. He had Solly on the overlap on his right, instead chose to go over to the left, and Lyle Taylor, who drifted into a bit of space. Bath came to close him down. He stepped inside on his right foot and smashed it past Jack Butland's left-hand post.
There we go. Great to hear from Patrick Bauer there. You get the full quotes. That was just a teaser clip. The full quotes will come out in the SLP on Tuesday morning. Right, let's get back to your tweets. Martin says, again, we've gone to a decent team in Preston with a depleted squad and competed again, but still lost the game by the odd goal. What I'm getting utterly frustrated about is our set-piece defending. I'm losing patience with Naby Sarr. The size of the bloke he is, he should be dominating the six-yard box and not allowing simple free headers like Patrick Bauer got got yesterday. We can't keep carrying him and others who are making the same mistakes week in, week out. We all know that the championship is a step up, but you can't keep making the same mistakes, as you'll get punished every time. He also adds, I'll stay patient with Southall, Bowyer and Gallen and trust they'll strengthen the squad where needed, but some of the players need to liven up. And fast. Derham says, very confident that we'll get the players in. These things just take time and we have to get the right bodies in, not just bodies to make up the numbers. Gavin says, hi chaps, certainly concerning times, but anyone stamping their feet given the new owners stick about the lack of signings would do well to read that article by Benji Nurek. It's an excellent article on the situation that Charlton find themselves in this transfer window. Yeah, like I said, I've retweeted it if you want to have a look at it. I think Benji will talk about some of the difficulties you tend to have in a championship transfer window like this one. Right, Pardy says, we need to protect the defence and the defending needs to start from the top. We'd love to see a stat on how many second balls we don't win. That would reveal a lot in it as a team. Right, Cliff says, I'm 100% confident in Steve Gallen. He'll get the right players for this club. The man is a miracle worker. Jake says, at the end of the day, I hate losing, but I'm definitely not worried yet. Let's just get the window out of the way, and if we pick up any points on the way, then it's a bonus. I'm sure we will start good form and bounce back up the table. Coming you lads. Coming you Reds. great show, lads. You got to say, I see I've made that mistake lads. There, but I said that's a very different situation. Groundhopper says that the midfield and forward line are too inexperienced, not enough pressure the other way, vulnerable to the attack. We'd like to see the average stat for percentage of game in our defensive third. Bet is high. It needs some more of the experienced players higher up the pitch to relieve the pressure, definitely. The Milkman says, I think the new owners have their heads screwed on and realise that Charlton may have to go, stop laughing, have to go down in order to rebuild. Otherwise, they may not have bought the club. So the Milkman's suggesting that Charlton might have to go back down to League One to rebuild. An interesting view here. Another interesting view coming up. Prattley's Pocket view. I said, why do you think we have problems with the amount of goals we're conceding at the moment? Prattley's Pocket says it's Dylan Phillips. Lewis, do you think that Dylan Phillips can be to blame for some of the goals? I don't think he had much chance with the two goals yesterday, for example.
Not really, because I think the reason that we've probably not lost some of these games by bigger margins is because Dylan Phillips has got incredible saves in his locker, isn't he? Really, the only criticism I have of Dylan is his distribution. I think bar that, which it is improving, but bar that, he's kept us in so many games and made so many important saves. It'd be really harsh to criticise Dylan. And as Tom said, I think he'd be pretty close for Player of the Year, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, he's up there for me, certainly. PH says, as it happens, our goal difference is worth a point as well when you look at those around us. Hopefully we won't need to worry about that, though, come the end of the season. Richard Justin's got some possible names for midfield experience. John Bostock, Glenn Whelan, Liam Birdcutt, Tom Carroll, even seen Tarap linked. Giles Fraser, Ollie Clark are the League One options. I mean, Richard, maybe get that email over to Steve Gallen and stick him on the list as well.
Or even bruisers.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's some bruisers in there. We need wall to wall bruisers in this team sometimes. Suggestions. I'm sure Steve Gallen would have heard of all those. Any name out there, I'm sure Gallen would know about them. So interesting to see. Right, London in Giza says that Prattley is quality, but better in the big games. He's less effective against the lesser teams for me, hence poor yesterday. He says, it's weird that we're choosing Dempsey over Morgan again for me. Yeah, Bowie don't seem to rate Morgan, does he? It's weird, isn't it? I think there's been some conversation where he's talked about players not tracking, or maybe even Morgan not quite having that defensive side of it. So maybe he thinks that Ben Dempsey's more suited to that when needs be. I mean, it's very inexperienced Dempsey himself.
That's definitely the point that Bowie has made, is the fact that Morgan doesn't do the defensive side enough. But in his defence, we're conceding goals anyway, so it's not like any of the other players are showering themselves in glory. And I would argue that the quality Morgan has going forward, his ability to pick out a pass, I think would serve us well up the other end of the pitch.
It feels like he probably is there doing a fair bit of defensive covering, but I don't think he adds as much going forward, perhaps Ben Dempsey, which I mean, if I feel so harsh having this conversation,
it's horrible.
It's like, if I go to what's your under-23s, I pick up, nah, he's rubbish. It's like he's trying his best, and they are still they're trying to get that experience in the Championship. And I mean, no matter who you're playing, and don't forget Preston have got the best home record in the Championship. There's no easy game in this division, and so it's so hard that the step up is so big. You remember it would stand out so much when it was Piggott, for example, or Carlin when he was very young. And we're asking three or four players to go at the same time, so it does feel harsh. But at the same time, there's plenty of people who've got opinions all over the place. Garmy's tweeted what the latest offer for Lyle Taylor's coming. It's just a bag of magic beans. Hey, we haven't even touched upon the fact that apparently a team's come in from some weird swap deal, but I don't really understand. I don't even know where to go to that. Boger clearly said he wouldn't take that. The Ram says I'm less gloomy. Fulham will be a free hit. In February, we play all the teams around us, and even if we don't get many in, Bond, Cullen, Forster, Caskey, Lyle Taylor, Field will all be back, hopefully, and the mighty Chuck Sanike, who causes mayhem as a super sub, if not being the most technical. Could I read something? We got a hat trick yesterday. Yeah. I only saw that earlier today. I'm really paying too much attention to that, but hopefully Chucks is close to coming back. I like Chucks. He needs a run of games. Cliff says, just to add to what Lewis mentioned about the games in February, I was talking about that today and how important this month is going to be for us. 7 games to play and 4 of those against sides that are currently below us. That is an absolutely massive month for us. Sebo, it's been all quiet on the transfer front since Andre Green came in, but I think from this week a small few will suddenly come in quick succession. Yeah, hopefully that will be the case. Rob says, let's just do what Charlton supporters do best and be the 12th man. Stick together and never give up. We will be fine. I have to say the support yesterday, actually, we haven't even mentioned that, but again, up until maybe midway through the second half when reality started to set in, it was a very vocal away support. So yeah, impressive stuff from the boys and girls who made their way up there. Andy says, if we get relegated this year, it'll be disastrous. All that hard work undone. ESI takeover 6 months too late, but we still need bodies now, and not just one, but 3 or 4. ESI won't like paying more than the going rate, but as it stands, they have no option. Anthony says, I would really like to think if we can get Chuck Sanike 100%, I think he will be the one that will be a great bully defender. It's a bit of a bruiser, as we were saying, and get Bone, Taylor and himself goal, and then it's down to our defence. Yeah, hopefully. I really want to see Chucks. And yeah, Anthony does mention he got that hat-trick for the 23s. I really want to see Chucks have an impact on this team, and I just hope when he's fully fit they'll be able to. Yeah, Luke's saying, that's what I'm thinking. I just read an article about agents and clubs upping their prices because of the new investors. But do we have a choice? Every club now is surely going to up their price. Well, that could well be the case. They'll look at where our new ownership appears to come from and assume that we've got a lot of money to spend. And hopefully that will turn out to be the case. Right, let's have a look at some of the emails that are coming as well. Loads of you got involved in this evening show. We're really grateful to those of you who have done that. Jordan says, it's time to drop Tom Lockyer. He's an absolute liability at the back. I know we don't have a strong midfield and attack to keep hold of the ball, but he really doesn't help us at the moment. I'm desperate for Cullen to start against Fulham. He wants to step in on that one. Tom Lockyer, opinions, Ben? Has he stood out for you as one who needs to look? I mean, you look at the defenders we have, and individually, I like them all for different reasons. But I guess when we're conceding a lot of goals, people are going to start to ask some questions.
Yeah, I guess people look into more intricately of different players. But for me, Lockyer doesn't stand out as being a player I'd take out the team.
Who else are you going to bring in? That's the thing. You drop him. You got Piercy. They're the two players. But you don't really like to play Piercy and Naby Sarr because they're both left-footed, left-sided centre half. So it's a tough one. But yeah, more than welcome to ask the question, Jordan. Everyone's a value to a pin. Not one I personally share, but that's Jordan getting involved here on Charlton Live. Right, John says, do the new owners have a grasp of the current situation? Boyer's contract should have been dealt with weeks ago. New players could have been bedded in by now. With 11 days left to go, we are entering the panic buy situation. Matt Southall, he talks a good game, but can he deliver? That's from John Lyons, and that will be the question that Matt will have to answer over the course of the rest of this month. Phil says, hi guys, I've welcomed ESI with open arms. I'd love to see Matt Southall and His Excellency Tanoon mixing it with both with the fans both here and abroad, but now I'm getting nervous. We cannot rely on these fragile injured players to get us out of this mess. We are now into the third week of January and we've not spent a penny. Boyer, as of today, still hasn't signed his contract. It's time to act, ESI. And that's from Phil. Right, Ken tweets in, hi, all that Lady Luck you were talking about on Thursday is either colourblind or has memory loss. First she heads up north, smooches up to that great German beauty, and then clones herself, sashaying up to the grinning new swan that we have loved for 6 months. I'm getting worried. Another game lost, 2 weeks left to go in the window, but my faith remains. That's from Ken from Betsy Heath. Yeah, Lady Luck really let us down there. One of you did predict that Andre Green was going to score, though, so at least we got something there. Was that you, Andre?
No, I said Lady Luck was going to score.
Oh, yeah, Nathan said it was going to be an Andre screamer, wasn't it? And, well, it was a tap-in, really, but there we go. Bob says, evening, guys. On the subject of getting players in, I fear we find ourselves in a bit of a catch-22 situation. In League One, we didn't have a problem with getting players in. These players were hungry and wanted to play at the Valley in front of a decent crowd. For all of them, it was a step up. Now we find ourselves having to get the quality for the Championship and face higher wage demands and unrealistic transfer fees because of our owner. However, I do expect Gallen to work his magic and bring in a couple of decent loan players. The signing of permanent players will happen in the summer when our position is clearer. Richard's piece today on Neymar bringing in medical advice from the United Arab Emirates, I can say that, was interesting. Definitely something not quite right with the recovery process. I think we'll have enough to avoid relegation, but only just. Ray says it was a battling performance as usual yesterday, a lack of quality due to inexperience within the team. Let's not forget that every week the Championship we play is quality Championship experience, some with Premier League players in their squads as well, against our academy lads. If at the beginning of the season we've been offered 5 points above the relegation places at this point, we would have been happy to take it. That's probably a good point, isn't it, Tom? Like,
I was thinking that on the train home, yeah, looking at the table yesterday. Obviously, given where we were come sort of November, early December time, you're a bit disappointed, but start of the season, I think just staying up was our goal. I think it remains our aim. Boya said it since day one. Look, if we were to get relegated, it would be a massive disappointment after everything we did last year, but that's kind of what was expected, right? We were with the lowest wage budget, as Boya made clear loads of times at the start of the season. We got an injury crisis that Lockyer said he'd never seen the like of in football before on last week. And we're still not in the relegation zone. And I think, you know, when you look at all of that and put it together, if we finish 19th at the end of the season and we're doing our season review, I think given everything that's been chucked at this year, I think we'll probably say, do you know what, that'll do. So, yeah, I think it's a good point. And it's difficult to say that when you're in the run we're in, and it's difficult to be kind of level-headed about it because so much is going on with injuries and the takeover and the fact it's the transfer window and the run of form we've been on. But all in all, you know, it could be a lot worse. It could be. We could be dead and buried already, and we're absolutely not.
Look at Luton. Look where they are in the table, and you wouldn't swap places with them, would you? Now, Ray says, when the players return from injury, supplemented with a couple of key signings, we will move upwards quickly. February is a key month. Let's lose the negativity and get behind Bayer and the team. They've done a fantastic job to get us where we are. Oliver Silk says, we let in a lot of goals because our defence simply isn't good enough. Lockyer is the only player who's worthy of his place. That's football for you. 2 minutes ago, we had someone calling for Tom to be dropped, but now Oliver's saying he's the only one who's worth keeping. Desperate need of another centre-half, probably a bit of a bruiser, I imagine, and two full-backs. Right, Millie says, hard game to take, especially after going 1-0 up. The fans didn't stop singing all game, and to lose 2-1 to Patrick Bauer's header, it didn't help. There are positives to take from the game, as the first 30 minutes of the game were class and calm football from us. The conceding of that goal from Josh Harrop, it looked like the boys lost all confidence again. Disappointing to lose on a set piece, but we move on to Fulham, and that's pretty much how I saw the game, Millie. Like, we let's remember that up until we conceded that goal from Patrick, I thought we'd actually defended reasonably okay. You know, maybe you can question about the first one, whether he should have been closed down, but there was a lack of real clear-cut opportunities in the penalty area, and if you can keep that, you tend to concede fewer goals, but we just got caught out by a bit of a worldie and then fall asleep at a set piece, which we do too often, unfortunately. Right, Robert says, the goal we scored was after a period of play where we passed the ball around the back before switching it to create space. After scoring, we just started lumping it to Davidson, who didn't stand a chance. It's probably a symptom of our injured midfield, but it never felt like we were going to score. Let's get a couple of players in and get out the habit of losing by one goal. Love the show. That's from Robin Nottingham. Yeah, that is a bizarre habit. I think off the top of my head now, I think we've lost 13 games and 11 have been by one goal. Whatever it is, whatever amount of games we've lost, only two of them have been by two goals. The rest have been by one goal. And it just shows that we are still in games and we are close to being where we need to be. I mean, if you look at the women's team record, which we're going to come into at the very end of the show, I mean, they've drawn almost all of their games at the bottom of the table. But it shows that how close you can be to just finding those results that you'll need to stay up. Right, Neil Garnham says, hi guys, he's done it before, Steve Gallen, he'll do it again. The guy has a keen eye and will get the players that Lee Bowyer needs. Alan says, a comparison between yesterday's team and the one we fielded in the corresponding weekend last season when we played Accrington Stanley. So show how low our fortunes have sunk. The team last season was Phillips, Solly, Bauer, Saar, Purrington, Billick, Prattley, Cullen, Williams, Taylor and Grant, with Maxwell, Fossey, Reeves, Dixdale and Lapsley and Marshall and Ockran on the bench. Wouldn't we love to be able to put out that League One side now in the Championship? Yeah, look, I mean, how many,
it's that midfield,
how many 18-year-olds are you putting out in that team? That's what you got to say. Right, David Todman, are we in a chicken and egg situation now with the signings? Lee Bayer hasn't signed and therefore the players won't sign until they see the stability. What's the delay? Surely it can't go on much longer. Matt Southall has said all the right things and he has my support, but he has to get 3 to 4 starting 11 players in or we are risking relegation and hoping there are 3 worse teams. We realise it's difficult and the teams and players are asking for more money. The reality of the window is as it is. Gallen and Southall must know what need to be done, both now in the football and negotiations. He's hoping by next Sunday things are better and we see some execution and delivery from ESI. Yeah, that's what we all want to see this week, ideally before the Fulham game, as Lee Bayer said. Right, Tom says, love the show. Cheers, Tom. Gutsy performance yesterday, but again, only came up short by the slightest of margins in the end. Don't get me wrong, it's hard watching the Fred Bear squad attempted to compete at this level, but as a fan, every week, apart from maybe Wigan and Borough, I'm leaving the stadium proud of my team. I can't help but think if you told me this time last year when we scraped to win against Accrington, we're still in League One and we're just about to lose Grant to the Premier League, that in a year's time we'd be 5 points above the relegation zone in the Championship, have new owners, Roland gone and new ownership at the club, I would have bitten your hand off. This is 3 or 4 challenging months building up to a great future. On another note, looking forward to watching the Youth Cup game at Blackburn tomorrow. Hopefully there will be some players available for that game. And because they're not all in our first team currently. Yeah, they're going to have to put out the under-12s in that game because the majority of them are playing first team football. Right, before we get ready to preview the Fulham game in a few moments' time, let's just catch up with the women's team. Then me and Benji went down there along with Nathan today to the Oakwood to watch the girls take on Blackburn Rovers side. It's a massive game. The women have drawn almost all, I think like 2 or 3 games they've lost, including today, unfortunately, against Blackburn. They've drawn all the rest of their games. They haven't won yet. They're bottom of the table. They're playing the team above them, Blackburn Rovers today. Needed a result. Went 1-0 up, an absolutely glorious strike from Charlie Escott quite early on inside the first 8 minutes, but they conceded twice in the final 20 minutes. Went on to lose. A massive blow there for Ratish Mishra and his side. I caught up with Charlie, who scored the opening goal for the Addicts in the first half, to ask her how she felt after the game, and also to have a little preview of next Sunday's home game, a massive game in the FA Cup against one of the biggest teams in women's football, Chelsea.
Very frustrating. We was the better team by a mile in the first half and we probably didn't punish them enough for that. The second half just ended up in a fight, which is how they wanted the game to be, and they scored 2 good goals, didn't create a lot else, and we'll have to look back at the chances we missed and how we stopped the game turning into a fight.
It looked like at the end, obviously, we sort of pushing for a win and there's always going to be chances at either end when it's so open, and that's how they got their winning goal.
Yeah, they scrapped and fought and so did we, and sometimes the luck just doesn't go your way, and that seems to be the story of our season so far.
And obviously with Blackburn just a place above Charlton before this afternoon, I mean, that could be seen as a bit of a blow, but I guess it's how now that you react to that to make sure that you can stay in the division, I guess.
Yeah, obviously it's tough and we need to be winning these games, but all we can do is go and try and learn from them, and we're a good team, we just need to start showing it with results.
Yeah, we saw in that first half, like you say, Charlton were pretty dominant. You have to try and take some positivity from that into the rest of the season.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, there's loads of positives from that game. We just need to tighten up and correct the small things we're doing wrong, and we should start getting results.
It'll be difficult to be too pleased with it now after the way that the game's ended, but you scored a wonderful goal in the first half. You must have been quite happy with that.
Yeah, no, obviously it's always nice to score, but I'd much rather have the 3 points. Yeah.
So what did Ratish say afterwards there to you girls?
Just the same stuff. We dominated first half and we need to look at what changed in the second half and why they're the ones that have come out on top now. We just have to go and review it and go again.
Of course, looking forward, I mean, you're in a difficult position in the table. Are you still confident that you can turn this around in the rest of the season?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the group we've got here, we're more than good enough to turn it around. We just have to keep working hard and go from there.
Obviously, looking ahead to next week now, a week off from the league and playing one of the big powerhouses
in women's football in the form of Chelsea. I mean, that's going to be one hell of an experience.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game, but we've just got to use it to play with no fear and try some stuff for our next league game, which is what we're obviously the most focused on.
And do you look forward to sort of playing against the probably up there with the best players in women's football, a chance to sort of challenge yourselves and see what you can learn from them as well?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's always nice to test yourself against some of the best in the world, and hopefully it'll give some of us a bit of freedom under no pressure to go and show what we can do.
And obviously there's going to be a big drive to get as many Charlton fans here as possible, because I'm sure Chelsea will turn out in numbers, so it'll be nice to see as many Addicts fans down here at the Oakwood.
Yeah, no, definitely. It'd be great to get a load of support down here, just see hopefully a competitive game.
There we go, Charlie Escott there, who opened the score. I mean, you have to try and find a video of this goal when the women's team Twitter puts it out. It was a brilliant strike, lobbing the goalkeeper. Like I say, unlucky. Perhaps they didn't take some chances in the first half, made to pay for it in the second half, and they've got a mountain to climb now to stay up. I still think they can do it. They've got some games in hand, and the performance in that first half suggests they can. But I'm sure Ratish will be pulling his hair out the fact that they've gone on to lose a game that was quite tight, late on. They're playing Chelsea in the FA Cup. You need to pre-order your tickets for that game next Sunday at the Oakwood, because basically Chelsea are going to bring loads of fans. So there's a possibility it'll sell out with all Chelsea fans, and there'll be like two or three Charlton fans turning up going, oh. So make sure you go online and pre-book your tickets for that one. It'd be a very interesting game. Right, Fulham coming up to the Valley on Wednesday. A couple of minutes to look ahead to that. Resurgent. I think they've won four of their last six, I was looking up. A very good team. We gave them a great game, Tom, didn't we, at their place? That was when we still had all our players, unfortunately, including Conor Gallagher, who scored against them. I mean, this is going to be a real test. We can't write off, because we need to pick up every point that we can. And we got a draw against West Brom last time out here at the Valley. We can take a point off Fulham. They're rubbish.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. I think it's going to be a tough game. look, we know what Fulham are about. They're going to play the ball on the floor. They're going to come at us. They're not going to sit back. But as you just said then, we more than matched them up at their place. I know the side's a lot more depleted now, but, you know, under the lights at the Valley, sometimes we can do special things, can't we, on a weekday night game here. So that wink has just thrown me. I think, look, let's not write it off.
Yeah, I call Fulham rubbish there, only on the outside chance that Richard Corley is listening, because he's a Fulham fan. He was joshing me on the phone yesterday. They were going to come and batter us, but there we go. Right, we've run out of time on this evening's Charlton Live. I hope you've enjoyed the show. It's absolutely flown by, because we've had loads of people getting involved. Lots of stuff to talk about at the moment, as there always will be during the January transfer window. I'm really hoping for a positive week. Let's hope this time we'll be on Thursday to look back at the Fulham game. Obviously, there's no game to preview next Saturday, but hopefully we'll be feeling a lot more positive by then. Maybe we won't. Who knows? We'll find out as the week progresses. Right, thank you to Tom, to Lewis and to Benji, who've come in this evening. Yeah, good to see you. I've been Louis Mendes. I hope you've enjoyed the show. So we won't be back here next Sunday unless something incredible happens, because there's no game. But we will come in on Thursday to look back at the Fulham game. So we look forward to seeing you then. Let's hope that we can get some signings, the manager sorted out, and a win this week. I'm not asking for too much, am I? Let's see.
Sounds good to me.
Let's see how it goes. Well, we'll see you back here on Thursday evening.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.